Okay, so we are starting Amir Tzashen in the next 2.5-3 weeks to discuss tshuva in the thought of Rav Lichtenstein. So we're now shifting from Rav Amital to Rav Lichtenstein. One of the big differences is that Rav Lichtenstein was always very, very panoramic. He wasn't pointed, so that means that when he's discussing tshuva, he's always veering off into broader conversations, not just about tshuva, seeing tshuva as a metaphor for Avodas Hashem. So what I'd like to do is as follows. This is the sefer I'll be using. It's called Return and Renewal. It's provided in the office, I believe. I think it's still available. These are very, very dense articles. Most of them were lectures. If I want to give a lecture every year, a tshuva lecture, you have to read them as if you're reading a term paper or a thesis or a 40-page report or something. They're not easy. They're not straightforward. So I'm going to try to summarize some of them. But what I'd also like to do, when possible, is actually read Rav Aaron's voice to you. So I won't just be discussing it in my voice. I'll actually read some excerpts from the book so you can try to hear his voice and how he wrote and how he spoke. Okay? So today we're going to be discussing the following question, which seems like a halakha question, but quickly becomes an existential question about tshuva and an existential question about Avodas Hashem. Is there a mitzvah to perform tshuva, or is there no mitzvah to perform tshuva? Now, from a purely halachic standpoint, that's a very interesting question. There is no smoking gun pasuk in the Torah that says do tshuva. It's hard to find. Rishonim try to tag it to some pasuk, Shabbat Hashem, Kem Mitzvah Zos. You can find pasukim here or there. But the fact that you have to go on a hunting expedition to find a pasuk for tshuva just reflects the fact that there isn't the one primary, clear pasuk. There's a pasuk for matzah, Merv Tov L'matzah. There's a pasuk for lulav, U'lekachtem Lachem, with the verb. There is no pasuk for tshuva, which leads many to believe there's no mitzvah. The Rambam is also very vague about it. He writes, Kishi Yasu Tshuva Chayiv L'Svados, very famous. Rabbi Soloveitchik talked about the Rambam way before Rabbi Soloveitchik. People spoke about the Rambam, the Minchas Chinuch. So for Rav Lichtenstein, this was an invitation to explore two different elements of tshuva. On the one hand, tshuva has to be an opportunity because it's a representation of freedom of choice. How counterintuitive would it be for Hashem to command us to do tshuva? Tshuva is Hashem giving us freedom of choice, and we exert our freedom of choice, our Bechira Chavshus, the entire year. And the easiest way to exert our Bechira Chavshus are external decisions, what you'll eat for breakfast, whether you'll commit a moral crime or perform a mitzvah, whether you'll be kind to someone or angry. You have all the decisions in life, but the hardest and bravest exercise of Bechira Chavshus is to decide not to do, but who to be. And to turn that entire magnifying microscope not on the world around you, what should I do, but in the world within you, who should I be? And how can I change myself, which is even more than who I should be? Because that's even more of a bold implementation of freedom of choice. Not just who I should be for the next 5 minutes, but how can I go back and change who I am based on the last 5 years, the last 50 years? So on the one hand, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say, do tshuva, command us to tshuva, it would deflate the entire energy of tshuva. Tshuva is me exercising the Bechira Chavshus Hashem endowed me with in the bravest and most challenging fashion possible. It's a celebration of Bechira Chavshus. So of course it can't be a mitzvah. On the other hand, Rav Aaron says, how could it not be a mitzvah? The fact that Torah doesn't write a pasuk, there are some responsibilities and duties in life that are so innate and so core and so seminal that even if the Torah doesn't formally define them as a mitzvah, that doesn't mean they're less obligatory. In halachic sense, maybe there's no mitzvah. And of course, you've seen this before. For example, living in Eretz Yisrael, just was speaking somewhere for Shabbos, someone came over, is there a mitzvah? Is there no mitzvah? Does the mitzvah apply specifically to the West Bank? Not to the West Bank. I said, look, I'll answer your questions, but the way I was trained, that's not the end of the conversation. Let's say there's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Let's say there's no mitzvah to settle the West Bank. Not everything that's fundamental in life can be broken down to a mitzvah. In fact, some ideas may be so central that they're even pre-mitzvahs, like the Gaon felt about Amunah. There's no mitzvah to believe in Hashem. It's a pre-mitzvah. Without Amunah, the entire platform of Avodas Hashem is hollow. So let me read Rav Lichtenstein a little bit. I don't know how much I'll be able to read. These are very, very long sections. This is, however, quote-unquote, an exceedingly strange position to assume that there's no mitzvah. It is absolutely chilling to think that tshuva, the key to our present spiritual state, to our ultimate metaphysical destiny, Right? It's both now, who you are now, and who you'll be in a million years in the next life. Should be merely a matter of preference and predilection. You want to do tshuva, you don't want to take a choice. It is conceivable that a particular action, like vidui, though legislated by the Torah, is a matter of choice. Both the Torah and the prophets constantly hammer away at the theme, shuvu, shuvu, return, return. These convey a strong sense that one who is sensitive to his relationship with Hashem, one who is concerned about spiritual values and his own spiritual existence, certainly will want to do tshuva and certainly must do tshuva. So for Lichtenstein, tshuva is not just an opportunity in his language, it's also an obligation. That's the first point of today's shiur. The second point of today's shiur, as Rav Aaron said, not only is it an opportunity, permission, and an obligation, even though this may not be a formal mitzvah, but the very fact that you have an opportunity for something makes it a mitzvah. Namely, in Avodas Hashem, potential is not something you choose. Oh, I have potential. Keeping mitzvahs, I'm avoiding avera. There's certain potentials that are left undiscovered and unexpressed. Okay, that's neutral. That's my own space. If you have an opportunity for something and you don't maximize that opportunity, what we would call omission, that to Rav Lichtenstein is a sin of commission, because you're wasting the opportunity Hashem gave you. And that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu intentionally left tshuva as an opportunity to say, now that it's an opportunity, now you have to choose it as an obligation. Because if Hashem gives you an opportunity and you don't choose it, then that's betraying Hashem and betraying His expectations of you. And he was regarding it from an interesting Rambam. The Rambam writes, this is Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Beis Halacha Zayin, Yom HaKippurim Hu Zman Tshuva L'Kol. The Yachid, the Latzibur, is the time for Tshuva. Lefichach, Chayavim HaKol Lasos Tshuva. Wait a second. What's the connection between the beginning of the Rambam and the end of the Rambam? It's the time for tshuva, therefore you have to do tshuva. Let's say it won't be the time of tshuva, a special time for tshuva, you'd still have to do tshuva. But the fact that Hashem is offering this unique season, Dirshuas Hashem Behimatso, and tshuva is easier this time, and tshuva is more accessible, and you don't take that hand, you don't take that offer, that's a betrayal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because you're not receiving, and you're not utilizing the potential Hashem gave. So tshuva is not just, on the one hand it's rishus, and on the other hand it's a chova. It becomes a chova, even though it's rishus, because for Varen, rishus isn't a neutral area. This is a very important question. I'll just read one more quote to you to see if we're running out of time. Okay? Is everything a mitzvah? Some would say yes. Some would say there are only two realms in life, mitzvahs and averas. And you have to always be in the realm of a mitzvah, and you always have to be performing the mitzvah. I'm sure you've heard that voice before. And then there are other more extreme versions where there are mitzvahs and averos, even religious people. But everything else, when you finish with mitzvahs, so you're not performing averos, everything else is rishos. It's your free time. It's yours. So there's Hashem's realm, then there's your realm. Those are the two polar positions. On the one hand, there's nothing outside of the halachic landscape, mitzvahs and averos. On the other hand, there's a small space called mitzvahs and averos. You take care of it, then you go to the ball game and do whatever you want. For Rav Aaron, everything is a tzivui, even if there aren't mitzvahs. Namely, Hashem wants you to utilize every part of your life to be the best person you can be. And that's all subsumed under Hashem's will. Now, that doesn't mean that every minute is governed by a mitzvah or banned by an avera. But it should be spiritually aware and spiritually consistent moments. And you should feel that even though I'm not performing a mitzvah, I'm still operating under HaKadosh Baruch Hu's general guidelines. And how can I go to the ball game and still be an Oved Hashem? It doesn't mean that I'm making brachos at the ball game. It doesn't mean I'm going to the ball game so that when I get back, I'll be able to learn better. So that it's a hechsher mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah, it's a hechsher mitzvah. Going to the ball game, but how does Hashem want me to go? How does Hashem want me to behave? It's a very different voice than I think a lot of kids have heard. Some have heard the polo, and the one, everything is the mitzvah, or shus. If you're not in the mitzvah, then you're wasting your time. So on the other side of the spectrum, is mitzvahs and averos, halacha, you keep halacha, and you do what you'd like, and you go off on your own. And Rav Aaron created for us this very, very different voice, that you're always operating under the tzibur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even when you're not performing mitzvahs. He would always quote the pasuk in Bereishis. The pasuk in Bereishis says, "Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al Adam leimor, mikol eitz hadat akol tochel." So one way to read the pasuk is that Hashem commanded Adam about a specific mitzvah: don't eat the tree of the eitz hadas. But if you read the pasuk carefully, the tzivoy is not about not eating from the eitz hadas. The tzivoy is about what he should eat. "Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al Adam leimor, mikol eitz hadat akol tochel." So even the part of life where you're not avoiding other areas, there's no mitzvah to eat from the trees of the Eden, right? There's an issue to eat from the Eden of us. What mitzvah is Adam performing when he eats from the other trees? There's no mitzvah per se. But still part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's overall roadmap on how to lead your life. Whatever that roadmap was for Adam, we don't really know. So the tzivoy is not just about mitzvahs and averos. The tzivoy is a general pattern to live your life by, and mitzvahs and averos are very, very specific, concrete, formalized, standard, absolutes, do and don't do. Whereas the broader tzivoy of Hashem is much more personal. You have to decide how to apply it. So as you can hear, when Rav Lichtenstein spoke about obligations, mitzvahs and opportunities through the prism of tshuva, all of a sudden the conversation became not just about tshuva, but how to review obligation in life, how to review mitzvahs in life. And mitzvahs in life for a veteran were not just discrete and distinct averos and mitzvahs, it was an attitude, an orientation, a mentality that you're a mitzvah v'yosa. Rav Aaron Rosenthal, you're a mitzvah v'yosa. And you express your mitzvah v'yosa not just in holding a lulav or avoiding basar b'chalav, but the way you lead your life is based on Hashem's ratzon. That's also part of mitzvah v'yosa. And that's why tshuva occupies this gray space. Is there a mitzvah or not? You can argue it, but in the end, it doesn't make that much of a difference. Because a spiritually aware person doesn't just say, what do I have to do? Okay, so tshuva is not a mitzvah. Does it make a difference? Ask yourself that question. Let's say there's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Does it really make a difference? You need a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael? So sometimes we get so caught in the halachic calculus that we excuse ourselves and acquit ourselves from experiences, oh, it's not a mitzvah. On the other hand, you have to take mitzvahs very, very seriously. There's a major difference between mitzvahs and concrete absolutes and others that you decide how, but value can't just be allocated based on what a person is. Okay? Well, mitzvah shalom, in the next 2 weeks, we'll try to bring the Lichtenstein scene into this corner. A few quotes every mitzvah shalom every morning. Okay? Have a good day, one, have a good week. Have a good day. Chazara share for my share, guys. I'll